ॐ ज्ञानचमिनन्दस्य जनाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुस्मिलध्यानजेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टां स्थपितां जैन भूतले सायं रूपकदमयं ददति सपन्दनतिकम् वञ्चकोपतुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुवैः च पतितनं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगो भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. Prahlad Maharaj was preaching to his school friends that they should use their lives properly, responsibly. Dhaman Bhagavat Taniha, and render devotional service, Bhagavat Dharma, to the Supreme Lord. Why? Dhulabha Manusha Janma, this life is so rare. It is short, short-lived, very rare. And there are so many species of life, and rarely one gets a human one. And with this human form of life, one has the ability to gain the eternal, although the life itself is temporary, or the form of life, or the soul is eternal. So after explaining the importance of human life, to render devotional service to Krishna, to develop our love for Krishna. Then Prahlad showed the tendency. And what is that tendency? Not to use life properly, but to waste life. How? 10 years being a child. Silly, frivolous child. Then 10 more years sporting and playing. Then the last 20 years of one's life. Invalidity, old age, thinking about the body, fearing death. So many inconveniences. And half of the remaining time, sleeping. And then the middle years, where one has energy and some maturity and ability, what does one do? Get involved in household life. And get so entangled, enamored by family members, thinking always of them within the core of the heart, trying to get more and more. What? I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with honey. Oh, yes, exactly. Yes, because money means power. Shakti, to control Shakti. And one can do what one wants. With money, one can control. Without money, one can't control. And with money, one can control. And when one can control, then one can enjoy. And then if one enjoys, one can be happy. So therefore, at all costs, get money. So many needs, so many expansions required, so many desires, so much competition. And in this way, one uses and loses one's entire life by taking shelter of these concepts, as if the family were all in all. So then in text 19, Prahlad explains, not to take shelter of the family, but rather take shelter of the Lord, because he awards liberation. Taking shelter of Him, taking shelter of the Lord, gives one liberation, freedom. Freedom from what? From death, from birth, from old age, from disease. One lives his true life as a soul. And taking shelter in the other direction of family life, materialistic enjoyment, sensual pleasures, attaining money, etc., binds one more and more deeply in materialistic life, which means birth and death. So Prahlad is going to continue now. My dear sons of demons, this is text 19. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is the original Supersoul, the father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing him or worshipping him under any condition. Because one may think, yeah, that it, okay, you, we shouldn't take shelter, we shouldn't be involved or make our whole life a family. But at least something is gained by that. But it's so hard to attain God, to attain Krishna, Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu. So hard, and then one has nothing. So therefore Prahlad says, there is no impediment to pleasing him or worshipping him under any condition, whether one be a child or an old man. The relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact, and therefore there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. Here is Prabhupada's purport. One may ask, one is certainly very attached to family life. But if one gives up family life to be attached to the service of the Lord, one must undergo the same endeavor and trouble. Therefore, what is the benefit of taking the trouble to engage in the service of the Lord? Hypothetical question. This is not a valid objection. The Lord asserts in the Bhagavad Gita 14.4, Savayona shukyantaya murtaya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahadyoni aham bijapada pita. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. The Supreme Lord Narayan is the seed-giving father of all living entities, because the living entities are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, Mamai Vangso Jiva Bhuta. As there is no difficulty in establishing the intimate relationship between a father and a son, there is no difficulty in re-establishing the natural intimate relationship between Narayan and the living entities. So here is the basic principle why Prahlad is saying that it's not difficult to please the Lord, and Prabhupada is explaining why, because the relationship is natural. Just like even if there is a very, very powerful person in this world, and maybe if he's a billionaire and a controller of a big country, the chief executive officer of a big company, how am I going to develop my relationship with him? So difficult. What will I do? Talk to his secretary and ask for an appointment. What can I say? What can I offer him? He can hire, buy anyone practically. But if I'm that person's child, then developing the relationship is not only easy, it's already there, it's natural. And even if I turn my back on the relationship, re-establishing it is natural. In fact, re-establishing it gives the father so much pleasure. It's just so easy. In that sense, as there is no difficulty establishing the intimate relationship between a father and son, there is no difficulty in re-establishing the natural intimate relationship between Narayan, the Lord, and the living entities. Saupamapyasya dhammasya trayate mahato bhayat. If one performs even very slight devotional service, Narayan is always ready to save one from the greatest danger. So what is the benefit of establishing the relationship that is natural, or re-establishing our natural relationship with the Lord? Because the all-powerful Lord will care for us. And even a little effort in establishing that relationship saves us from the greatest danger. And what is the greatest danger? It's been stated previously. Again, descending into animal life, losing the opportunity of human life. The definite example is Ajamil. Ajamil separated himself from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by performing many sinful activities and was condemned by Yamaraj to be very severely punished. But because at the time of death he chanted the name of Narayan, although he was calling not for the Supreme Lord Narayan, but for his son named Narayan, he was saved from the hands of Yamaraj, from the hands of death. Therefore, pleasing Narayan does not require as much endeavor as pleasing one's family, community, and nation. We have seen important political leaders killed for a slight discrepancy in their behavior. Therefore, pleasing one's society, family, community, and nation is extremely difficult. One thing wrong and everyone is so angry at you. Everyone is pleased with you as long as you provide what they want, but soon as you cease to provide that thing, people reject, anger, want you out, kill you, whatever. And can you please everyone? Very difficult. So pleasing Narayan, however, is not at all difficult. It is very easy. Again, Ajamil was just chanting the name of his son, whose name was the same as the name of God, Narayan. And still that saved him. This is the mercy of the Lord. So it's natural to have the relationship. It's easy to establish because it's already there. It's beneficial to establish a relationship. Even a little bit moving in that direction is greatly beneficial. And as Prabhupada will now continue saying, it's our duty. This is the purpose of life. One's duty is to revive one's relationship with Narayan. A slight endeavor in this direction will make the attempt successful, whereas one will never be successful in pleasing his so-called family, society, and nation, even if one endeavors to sacrifice his life. The simple endeavor involved in devotional service of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord, can make one successful in pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is the method, the methodology of pleasing the Lord and reestablishing the relationship? Just hear and chant about Him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore bestowed His blessings by saying, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtan. If one wants to derive the actual benefit from this human form, he must take to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So Prahlad continues to speak to his school friends. He's told them that there is no impediment to pleasing the Lord. It's easy, because as soon as we chant Krishna's name, he is right there. Where is he though? He's so easy to please, but where is he? So now Prahlad is going to answer that the Lord is everywhere. 20 through 23. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and indefatigable, is present in different forms of life. From the inert living being, stavara, such as the plants, to Brahma, the foremost created living being. He is also present in the varieties of material creations and in the material elements, the total material energy in the modes of material nature, sattva guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna, as well as the unmanifested material nature and false ego. Nothing is different from him in the creation. So he, this is bhina prakritamastada. This is all Krishna's energy. So the energetic, the source of the energy, is present in the energy. Although he is one, he is present everywhere. And he is also the transcendental supersoul, the cause of all causes. who is present as the observer in the cause of the hearts of all living entities. So he's everywhere through his energy, material energy, and mama tejo angsa sambhava, and also he is everywhere as the supersoul in every heart of every living entity, observing the witness, anumanta, the permitter, dehesmin purushapara, that supreme lord is within everyone's heart. Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddhishe arjuna tishtati, in everyone's heart. So he is present as the observer in the cores of the hearts of all living entities. Every living entity has Krishna within their heart. He is indicated as that which is pervaded and as the all-pervading supersoul. But actually he cannot be indicated. He is changeless and undivided. He is simply perceived as the supreme Satchidananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Being covered by the curtain of the external energy, to the atheist he appears non-existent. So he is everywhere, antar bahir vashtitam, inside and outside of everything, but yet, because of our qualification of being atheistical or non-devotional, we cannot see him anywhere, although he is everywhere. This is due to the curtain of Maya that covers our eyes like the cloud, like the clouds cover the sun. The sun isn't actually covered, but our eyes are covered. When one goes up a little distance in the air in an airplane, we see that the sun isn't actually covered at all. But we can't perceive the sun on a cloudy day. It's our eyes that are covered. So similarly, when we have no love for Krishna, when we have no active relationship with God, then we cannot see him, although he is inside and outside of everything. So again, Prahlad is saying, wake that relationship up. Otherwise, you won't see him anywhere. He'll appear to you to be non-existent. You'll see matter as the cause of everything. But if one, on the other hand, is a devotee, has bhakti, has love for Krishna, for God, then everywhere he'll see him. Stavaram jagamam deki. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Not only is the Supreme Personality of Godhead present as the supersoul of all living entities, at the same time he pervades everything in the entire creation. So he is everything in the... because nothing can be separate from God by definition. And also, he personally pervades everything as the supersoul. And yet again, he is separate again as the Supreme Lord. So he exists. He pervades everything in the entire creation. He exists in all circumstances and at all times. He exists in the heart of Lord Brahma, and also in the cores of the hearts of the hogs, dogs, trees, plants, and so on. He is present everywhere. He is present not only in the heart of the living entity, but also in material things. Even the atoms, protons and electrons, and being explored by material scientists. The Lord, so how is he present? In which features does he exist in everything? The Lord is present in three features, as Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. Because he is present everywhere, he is described as Sarvam Kalavidam Brahma. Vishnu exists beyond Brahman. Bhagavad Gita confirms that Krishna, by his Brahman feature, his energy feature, is all-pervading. Maya Tatamidam Sarvam. He is everywhere through his energies. But Brahman depends upon Krishna. So the aspect of Krishna that is everywhere through his energies is resting upon a different aspect of Krishna, just like the sunshine rests upon the sun globe, the sun planet. The sun doesn't have an independent existence. Brahmanohi pratishtaham, that means that the Brahman feature, the all-pervading feature of the Lord, rests upon on me, Krishna says. So without Krishna, there can be no existence of Brahman or Paramatma. Just like without the sun planet, there could be no existence of the sunshine. Therefore, Bhagawan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. Although He is present as the Paramatma in the core of everyone's heart, He is nonetheless one, either as an individual or as the all-pervading Brahman. Another example, the government. The government is a power, it has energy, and the influence of the government is everywhere. Everything rests upon the government's potency. But yet, there is a post behind the government. And that post in Australia is called the Prime Minister. He's the head of the government. That's like the super soul. There's the energy of God that is everywhere. Like the government, its influence is everywhere. Everything goes according to its law. But yet there is a person behind that. And that person, the post rather, is the super soul, the all-pervading, how the Lord is in everyone's heart. And He is the controller of the material energy, the Paramatma. But yet, as there is a post, the Prime Minister or in the United States, the President or other countries, the King, but there is also a personality, a person, a personage, who is that, who is holding that post, who is acting in that capacity. So us, from the distance, we don't know much about the person. We just know about the post, but actually is a person. He has very individual characteristics, likes, dislikes. He looks in a specific way. Certain specific tastes, strengths. He's an individual. Certain bodily features. So similarly, God is not only all-pervading, as the government is all-pervading, and not only is He controlling everything in the post, but also as the super soul, but He's also a person. And that personal feature of the Lord, of course, is called Bhagawan, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's one thing to understand, if one doesn't acknowledge that there's government and its influence everywhere, one becomes a criminal. So the beginning of spiritual life is to understand how God is everything and everywhere. And there's a process of understanding that aspect of God. And then there's another process of understanding the super soul, just like most citizens in a country only know the government, and maybe they've heard that there is a super soul. But other people deal with the Prime Minister very directly in an official capacity. Similarly, a yogi can know the super soul, but it is a very rare qualified person who knows that personality and what he likes and what he doesn't like. And it's the very rare soul who knows Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and deals with Him in an intimate way. And Prabhupada told the story how one man years ago went to see the Prime Minister of England. At that time it was Disraeli, who was a very, very, very powerful man. And this man who wanted to see him had some very important governmental business to see him about. So the secretary, he had his appointment, and the secretary told him to sit down and wait because the Prime Minister is busy right now. So he was waiting 15 minutes, a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, and he kept going to the secretary and saying, "Is it time yet?" And he said, "No, he's very busy." And this man was also a very big man, so he was also very busy. So he was getting a little, impatient. So after waiting for a long time, He looked within the keyhole to see what this busy thing he was doing. And he saw that he was with his grandson. And he was on all fours. And the grandson was on his back and he was riding him around. And this man was waiting and waiting and waiting. So there's the behind the post is the person, and the person gets his pleasure from dealing in intimate ways with those he has an intimate relationship with. And that gives him even more pleasure than the power of the government. So how to become an intimate of God and to deal with him in the most intimate way, that is the process of Krishna consciousness. The supreme cause is Krishna. So the person is the ultimate. And devotees who have surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead can realize him and his presence within the universe and within the atom. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. This realization is possible only for devotees who have fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. For others, it is not possible. This is confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita. Daiviyesha gunamayi mama maya durateya amaiviye prapadyante mayam etantarantite. The process of surrender in a devotional attitude is accepted by a fortunate living being when he gives himself fully to the Lord. After wandering through many varieties of life on many planetary systems, when one comes to the real understanding of the Absolute Truth by the grace of a devotee, one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam janamam ante ganavamam prapadyante. Prahlad Maharaj's class friends who were born of daitya families, demoniac families, thought that realizing the Absolute was extremely difficult. Indeed, we have experienced that many, many people say this very thing. Actually, however, this is not so. The Absolute, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is most intimately related to all living entities. Therefore, if one understands the Vaishnava philosophy, which explains how he is present everywhere and how he acts everywhere, to worship the Supreme Lord or to realize him is not at all difficult. Realization of the Lord, however, is possible only in the association of devotees. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, said, Brahmanda Vamate Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. The living entity in the material condition wanders through many varieties of life and many varieties of circumstances. But if he comes in contact with a pure devotee and is intelligent enough to take instructions from the pure devotee regarding the process of devotional service, he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of Brahma and Paramatma, Brahman and Paramatma, without difficulty. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, Antaryami pratyagatma vyapta kalo hari smita prakritya tamasavritattvam hare raishvayam nagyayate. The Lord is present as Antaryami in everyone's heart and is visible in the individual soul covered by a body. Indeed, he is everywhere at every time in every condition, but because he is covered by the curtain of material energy, to an ordinary person, there appears to be no God. So Prabhupada insists here that it is not at all difficult to realize the Lord, but it must be done in the association of devotees. So he is unseeable, even though he is everywhere, but due to the curtain of Maya, he is unseeable except by devotional service. So what is that devotional service? How to satisfy the Lord in devotional service?
Tasmat saveshu bhuteshu dayam kurata soridam bhavam masoram unmucha yaya tushyat tathukshaja.
Therefore, Prahlad continues instructing his school friends. Therefore, my dear young friends, born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. This is a very wonderful purport to this verse, where Prabhupada will explain how to see the Lord without difficulty in devotional service. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavin yaschasmi tatvata. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service, the loving devotion. Because through devotion, when one exhibits love with the Lord, then the Lord reciprocates with that by revealing Himself to the devotee. It's natural. Because who will you trust? Someone who loves you. Because someone who loves you can't hurt you, won't hurt you, won't use things against you in any way. So the Lord reveals Himself to His devotees because of the love of the devotees. This is the transcendental reciprocation that goes on. Prahlad Maharaj ultimately instructed his class friends, the sons of the demons, to accept the process of devotional service by preaching the science of Krishna consciousness to everyone. Show mercy, this is from the verse, show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wisher. Preaching is the best service to the Lord. The Lord will immediately be extremely satisfied with one who engages in this service of preaching Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69. Nachatasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakritama. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. If one sincerely tries his best to spread Krishna consciousness by preaching the glories of the Lord and His supremacy, even if he is imperfectly educated, he becomes the dearmost servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is bhakti. Bhakti means Bhagavad Dharma, which means acting to please the Lord for His pleasure. So Prabhupada is explaining how to please Him, just basically repeating what Prahlad Maharaj said. This is bhakti. As one performs this service for humanity without discrimination between friends and enemies, the Lord becomes satisfied, and the mission of one's life is fulfilled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised everyone to become a guru devotee and preach Krishna consciousness. Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Amara gai guru hai tare desh. That is the easiest way to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By such preaching, the preacher becomes satisfied, and those to whom he preaches are also satisfied. This is the simple process of bringing peace and tranquility to the entire world. Bhoktaram jagatapasam savaloka maheshwaram suridam savabhutanam gyatvamam shantimrichati. So what should one preach? One is expected to understand these three formulas of knowledge concerning the Supreme Lord. That He is the Supreme Enjoyer. In other words, we are not the Supreme Enjoyers, but He is. That He is the proprietor of everything. We are not the proprietors of everything. individually, collectively. He is. And that He is the best well-wishing, well-wisher and friend of everyone. A preacher should personally understand these truths and preach them to everyone. Then there will be peace and tranquility all over the world. The word sodidam, friendliness, is very significant in this verse. People are generally ignorant of Krishna consciousness, and therefore to become their best well-wisher, one should teach them about Krishna consciousness without discrimination. Since the Supreme Lord Vishnu is situated in the core of everyone's heart, every body is a temple of Vishnu. One should not misuse this understanding as an excuse for such words as Daridra Narayan, means poor Narayan, that you'll see God in the poor man. If Narayan lives in the house of a Daridra, or poor man, this does not mean that Narayan has become poor. He lives everywhere, in the house of the poor and those of the rich. But in all circumstances, he remains Narayan. To think that he has become either poor or rich is a material calculation. He is always Sadaishwarya Purna, full in six opulences in all circumstances. So all these boys who Prahlad was preaching to, teaching, while the teachers were out, they were studying the Vedic principles under their teacher, Sandanamarka. So, the Vedas are scriptures. So won't following these scriptures please the Lord? Because the Vedas come from the Lord. So won't that please Him? Why is it necessary to follow what Prahlad says? Verses 25 and 26. These two verses. Nothing is unobtainable, because the Vedas teach dharma, religiosity, artha, gaining wealth, kama, fulfilling one's desires, and ultimately liberation. So will there be a loss also if one neglects the Vedas or the other scriptural processes and just gives oneself fully to the Lord for His pleasure, surrenders to Him, does His will, places Him in the center of our life, won't one lose? So the verse says, nothing is unobtainable, Prahlad continues, for devotees who have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, the original source of everything. The Lord is the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities. For devotees, therefore, who are transcendental to the modes of material nature, what is the use of following the principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, which are all automatically obtainable under the influence of the modes of material nature? We devotees always glorify the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore we need not ask for anything in terms of dharma, kama, artha, and moksha. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Prahlad Maharaj said, agunena cha kangchitena. This is from the purport. If one is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he does not need anything in terms of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. In Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, in the beginning of the transcendental literature, it is said, dharma projita kaitavotra. Dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are kaitava, false and unnecessary. Nirmatsaranam. Persons who are completely transcendental to the material activities of separateness, who make no distinction between mine and yours, but who simply engage in the devotional service of the Lord, are actually fit to accept Bhagavat Dharma. Dhamman Bhagavata Iha. Because they are nirmatsara, not jealous of anyone, they want to make other devotees, even their enemies. Make others devotees, even their enemies. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya remarks, kanchite mochagam apisukam na kanchito yata. Devotees are not desirous of any material happiness, including the happiness derived
from liberation. This is called Anya Vilasita Sanyam Jnana Karmani Anavritam. Karmis desire material happiness and jnanis desire liberation, but a devotee does not desire anything. He is simply satisfied by rendering transcendental loving service at the lotus feet of the Lord and glorifying Him everywhere by preaching, which is His life and soul. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying there is nothing lost by giving up these lesser teachings. The Vedas or any scripture is meant to bring us to the highest platform of the living entity giving himself to the Lord with great devotional love. So does one lose something from the lower platform? If one gives himself directly to the Lord without going through the different scriptural processes, no. It's like saying, thinking that one loses something is like thinking, what if I become a millionaire or a billionaire, I'll lose my job and then I'll lose my $700 a week. What will I do then? The purpose of the job theoretically, so that you amass wealth. It doesn't have any inherent purpose in and of itself. It's purposeful. It's full of a purpose. So everything is accomplished when one actually becomes a devotee of the Lord. All desires are satisfied. When one opens, awakens, reawakens, one's relationship with Krishna and lives in that, in his actual, full, uncovered, the relationship that the soul has with Krishna, then he's like a billionaire, billionaire, billionaire. He has everything. There's nothing more to be gained because he has awakened his relationship with Krishna. Prahlad is saying, never mind these other teachings from Sandanamarka, from your teachers. You take this teaching of Bhagavad Dharma and you'll have everything. There won't be a loss. Continuation of this point. Religion, economic development, and sense gratification, we think we'll lose that. These are described in the Vedas as trivarga, or three ways to salvation. Within these three categories are education and self-realization, ritualistic ceremonies performed according to Vedic injunctions, logic, the science of law and order, and the various means of earning one's livelihood. These are the external subject matters of study in the Vedas, and therefore I consider them material. However, I consider surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu to be transcendental, beyond the modes of material nature, the controlling forces in this world. And these other things are within this world. They're within the realm of falsity, of illusion, but they're within the realm and pious, constructed in such a way to get us out of illusion gradually. But they're in the world of illusion, and their purpose ultimately is to bring us to the point of the transcendental, which is to surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. From Prabhupada's purport, the last half. To act on the material platform, even if one's activities are sanctioned by the Vedas, is not the ultimate goal of life. The material platform means it's basically a selfish, self-centered platform to gain something for me. And the transcendental platform is when that false sense of identity, that false sense of me, is removed and one lives in one's real ego, not false ego, but real ego, which is that I am Krishna's servant. So all acts on the material platform that are based on false ego, selfishness, me is the center, are, even if they are sanctioned in the scriptures, they are on the material platform and they are not the ultimate goal of life. Because they are meant, the scriptural sanctioning of those is meant to bring us beyond them. The ultimate goal of life is to stay on the spiritual platform, fully surrendered to the Paramapurusha, the Supreme Person. This is the object of the human mission. In summary, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and injunctions are not to be discounted. They are means of being promoted to the spiritual platform. But if one does not come to the spiritual platform, the Vedic ceremonies are simply a waste of time. Like if one becomes attached to the knowledge one gets in the third grade or something and doesn't want to move on and graduate. Yes, one should pass through the third grade, but if one insists that third grade knowledge is all in all, one will become stuck. It's purposeful knowledge. They're means to assist us to higher education. So this is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma shunustita pumsan vishvaksena katasuyad nodpadayim yadiratim shrama eva hikevalam. Duties, dharma, executed by men, regardless of occupation, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. If one very strictly performs the various duties of religion but does not ultimately come to the platform of surrendering to the Supreme Lord, to attraction to Him, his methods of attaining salvation or elevation are simply a waste of time and energy. So how to learn this Bhagavad Dharma, this bhakti, this devotional service? Prahlad will conclude this chapter by explaining that. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the well-wisher and friend of all living entities, formally explained this transcendental knowledge to the great Saint Narada. Such knowledge is extremely difficult to understand without the mercy of a saintly person like Narada. But everyone who has taken shelter of Narada's disciplic succession can understand this confidential knowledge. There's a purport to that text. I'll finish off the verses of the chapter and then we'll read that purport. Prahlad is explaining this because his father had asked him many, many times in such a demanding way, and Sandaramarka had insisted that Prahlad tell him, where did you learn this? Where did you learn this? How have you learned this devotional service? It was threatening Prahlad. You tell me who you have learned this from. And now Prahlad is going to reveal how he learned it, and he's going to reveal it unasked, but reveal it to his school friends. He said, I received this knowledge from the great Saint Narada Muni, who is always engaged in devotional service. This knowledge, which is called Bhagavad Dharma, is fully scientific. It is based on logic and philosophy, and is freed from all material contamination. So how did he, Prahlad, who's been in school the whole time, how did he associate with Narada Muni? He's just a young boy. How did he associate with a great saint? None of them saw Narada Muni. So Prahlad is going to say, or his school friends are going to ask him, Dear Prahlad, neither you nor we know any teacher or spiritual master other than Sandaramarka, the sons of Sukracharya. After all, we are children and they are our controllers. For you especially, who always remain within the palace, it is very difficult to associate with a great personality. Dear friend, most gentle one, would you kindly explain how it was possible for you to hear Narada? Kindly dispel our doubts in this regard. So they're asking him, you've gotten devotional service from Narada, but how did you meet with Narada? So now we'll read the final purport, 27. It is stated here that this confidential knowledge, very, very secret, rahasya, this confidential knowledge is extremely difficult to understand. Yet, it is very easy to understand if one takes shelter of a pure devotee. This confidential knowledge is also mentioned at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, Savadamam Prityaja Mame kam sharanam braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. This knowledge is an extremely confidential secret. By this knowledge, Bhagawan is revealed, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By other processes, one realizes the power of God, the controlling nature of God. But through this Bhagavad Dharma, which is very secret and very confidential, and only can be learned from someone who has bhakti, who has devotion for the Lord, by following this, the Supreme Lord Himself, the person who is God, reveals Himself. So this confidential knowledge is also mentioned at the end of Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, Savadamam pratyaja mamekam sharanam braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. This knowledge is an extremely confidential secret, but it can be understood if one approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the bona fide agent, the spiritual master, and the disciplic succession from Narada. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to impress upon the sons of the demons that although such knowledge can be understood only by a saintly person like Narada, they should not be disappointed. For if one takes shelter of Narada instead of material teachers, this knowledge is possible to understand. Understanding does not depend upon high parentage. The living entity is certainly pure on the spiritual platform, and therefore anyone who attains the spiritual platform by the grace of the spiritual master can also understand this confidential knowledge. Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions? Comments? Because one could also say that he explained it to Narada through Brahma. I'm trying to think if there's any time when Narada heard directly from the Lord. I can't remember any offhand, although there may be some. But generally the disciplic succession means that it comes directly from Lord Vishnu to Brahma, from Brahma to Narada, Narada to Vyas, like that. Says it directly in the verse. I'm not sure then.
Yeah. I have quite a lot of time on Sankhya philosophy. Does Sankhya philosophy form part of Bhagavad Gita? Is it separate?
The teachings of Kapila Muni Sankhya.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Sankhya philosophy teaches Bhagavad Dharma, but there is mystic yoga mixed in. So it's not, and there's gyan mixed in, knowledge of the universe, and then the practice is mystic yoga. But the goal of all that is to become a devotee and please Him and please the Lord. So the knowledge of the universe and the practices of all the limbs of Astanga Yoga, they are not directly Bhagavad Dharma. What is directly Bhagavad Dharma is what Prahlad told his father when he asked what the best thing was. That's hearing, chanting, remembering, serving in different ways, surrendering fully to offering prayers, etc. to the Lord. That is directly actions directly meant to please the Lord. These others are indirect to ultimately please Him, but not direct. Bhagavad Dharma is the direct surrender of the living entity to the Lord, for acting for His pleasure. Sarvadhamam pratyaja. So here's a direct expression of what Bhagavad Dharma is. It's been Yamaraj also explained something of Bhagavad Dharma in Canto 6. Any other questions or comments? Very young. Too young. 5, 6, 4, something like that. It's because he's operated by solar energy. No, he explains earlier what his realizations were, how intimately he was seeing Krishna. He was crying. He would laugh when he would see Krishna, and he would cry when he couldn't see Krishna. So he was completely awakened spiritually, even though he was in just a lad's body. So he was speaking his realizations, which were very, very deep.
The science and high. Of these demons must be quite intelligent or something, because they're listening to lots of questions to his teachings.
And yeah, they basically at the end they all become converts. Yeah. They accept Prahlad and reject the teachings of Sandinamarka, which infuriates Hiranyakashipu so much. And then he tries to kill Prahlad. And that trying to kill Prahlad will be the source of his own death. A fortunate death at the hands of Lord Srinidev. And that we should get to, not next week. And 2 more weeks, we should get to that. Yeah, last question.
Is this Jaya
Yuga? Oh boy, what yuga is this? Why do you think it's Treta Yuga?
Because the society in Satya Yuga doesn't resemble palaces.
It seems to be pretty close to the Satya Yuga. It would seem to me Satya Yuga, because right after Manu, which isn't like the beginning of the creation, after he came, then the Lord appeared as Varahadev. And he killed Hiranyaksha, and that infuriated Hiranyakashipu, who performed austerities for really, how long was it? 100,000 years? I can't remember. Or 10,000 years of the demigods or something. So it seemed like that was directly after the killing of Hiranyaksha, which is very close to the beginning, which means Satya Yuga. But other than that, I don't know. But he performed austerities for really a long time, and then he may have ruled for a long time.
At this stage, is this in the palace of Indra?
Yes. So maybe things are different up there.
And is that where Lord Vishnu appeared?
I think there's the element of simultaneousness. But he was sitting on the throne of Indra. And then it is said that he appeared. They say it at Ahovalam is the place where Lord Nisringadeva appeared. That's what they say. And then I think when Prabhupada was asked, he said, yes, it is said like that. But But there's a simultaneousness that can occur, and which I don't know much about, being only in one place in time myself. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.